I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. These are our top stories for Friday, October 13th. The American Red Cross this week invited the amateur radio volunteers now in Puerto Rico to extend their duty tours. Nearly 24 ARRL volunteers from the mainland and numerous local radio amateurs have been working in concert over the past couple of weeks, doing what needs to be done to help Puerto Rico to recover from hurricane devastation. Puerto Rico Section Emergency Coordinator Juan Sepulveda, KP3CR, is better prepared to assist now that volunteers have delivered a radio and antenna to him in Lares. Sepulveda has been coordinating the ARRI's efforts on the west side of the island since the recovery began. Amateur radio has continued to provide a link for the medical community on Puerto Rico. Volunteers have deployed to hospitals, including remote hospitals that are without communication. This week, the team relayed a request for Culebra Hospital, which reported that a generator fire had forced relocation to a nearby clinic. In addition, volunteers relayed another request from Culebra Hospital that it needs temporary housing for FEMA for necessary staff members who lost their homes in the hurricane. The team also relayed a message for HEMA San Pablo Hospital in Fajardo, which needs specialized IV fluids for a 4-day-old infant. Rob Landon, KE8AMC, stationed at the hospital on Vieques, learned from the hospital administrator that they needed to evacuate dialysis patients who require air conditioning that the hospital is unable to provide. An amateur radio operator has been assigned at Centro Medico to provide communication between the center and other hospitals. The emergency room doctor at Medical Central and the ham embedded there, Juan Trujillo, N0PSF, coordinated with Dennis Perez, WP4Q, at the Mennonite Hospital in Caguas to transfer 4 critical patients to the Mennonite Hospital in Calle. Efforts continue to resurrect the devastated infrastructure in Puerto Rico, and 40 to 50 Puerto Rican radio amateurs have been assisting the power authority to maintain communication as it works to restore power. Valerie Hotsfeld, NV9L, Puerto Rico Section Manager Oscar Resto, KP4RF, Mike Corey, KI1U, an amateur radio liaison to the FEMA ESF2 Communications Task Force, Gary Sessoms, KC5QCN, traveled to Arecibo Lares and the Guajataca Dam to deliver spare VHF radios to permit direct communication between Isabela and the dam, where infrastructure repairs are underway. A repeater has been delivered to the Arecibo Observatory. In addition, several team members stocked up on powdered milk, peanut butter, water, rice, canned fruits and vegetables, and bags of fresh apples, and delivered these to those in the Arecibo area. The fire station in Guayama reported a complete lack of water, with people being turned away. One of the amateur radio volunteers was able to assist from the fire station in Juncos. FEMA has reported that only about 19% of cell telephone sites are operational, and 15% of customers have electrical power. ARRL is expressing its gratitude to the amateur radio community for its generosity in support of the ARRL Ham Aid Fund, which is making it possible to provide relief and recovery communications in Puerto Rico. Overall, there have been more than 600 donations to the Ham Aid program in response to a call from ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, and nearly $125,000 has come in from clubs and individuals. Several amateur radio retailers and manufacturers also have stepped up to donate needed equipment. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, said he was amazed at the overwhelming response, including those who answered his call to join the Force of 50 now deployed in Puerto Rico. The Hurricane Watch Net and the VOIP Hurricane Net activated for Hurricane Nate last weekend. Both nets stood down on October 8th. According to VOIP Hurricane Net Director of Operations Rob Macedo, KD1CY, Nate spared the New Orleans area any significant wind damage and storm surge flooding, but pockets of tree and wire damage and wind gusts to hurricane force were recorded in parts of Mississippi and offshore oil platforms in the Louisiana coastal waters. Storm surge values of 3 to 7 feet were recorded in portions of southern Alabama, southern Mississippi, and extreme southeast Louisiana.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm sitting here with Bob Allison, WB1GCM, the Assistant ARRL Laboratory Manager, and our product review tester for all the reviews that you see in QST Magazine. And Bob, I have a question for you concerning those Chinese handheld transceivers.
Yes.
There seems to be a problem, or not with all of them, of course. We have to be careful to say that, but at least with a few. What's the story behind that?
Well, when some of the new brands come out they're marketed, and we don't have a track record of them, we tend to be a little bit skeptical. So we get some samples that are out there, and this is just for advertising acceptance. We'll get them in to the laboratory, and we'll test them. The most basic thing that they have to be tested for are emissions, to make sure they don't have harmonic spurious emissions, and they comply with FCC emission standards. For example, for a 5-watt handheld, you'll need at least 53 dB of harmonic and spurious suppression. So with that in mind, we test all handhelds, and we found that some of the Chinese-made handhelds do not comply with this FCC basic rule, so much so that we investigated further and we started testing these things at events like conventions, Dayton, Ohio, for instance, PacificCon, and we found out that about 75% of them are non-compliant.
75%? Wow.
That's right. So, and what we did in the November issue of 2015 QST is we reported our data, our test data on handhelds, and we identified makes and models that were non-compliant.
Well, why should hams care about this? I mean, beyond the fact that they're violating Part 97 every time they use them, why should they care beyond that?
Well, put it this way. You might be on an inexpensive handheld, and if for some reason that's producing a harmonic on something, a very, very important frequency. Could be medical, could be aircraft, could be police. But just think about that. That handheld might interfere with something very, very important. And if that ever became a news story, that some ham was jamming the police or jamming commercial aircraft transmissions and reception, wouldn't that be bad for the amateur radio service in general? All the more fodder for commercial radio services to say, hey, those hams, they use inferior equipment. They don't need those frequencies.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
The 2017 AMSAT Symposium is weeks away, starting with the Board of Directors meeting on October 26th and 27th. If you will be heading over to Reno, Nevada to see some of the neat satellite stuff, you can find the schedule on the AMSAT.org website. Click on Events and then Symposium. We look forward to having an eyeball CUSO with those we talk with over the satellites. Lots of fun. Here we are with a bunch of amateur satellites and many that have been launched and stopped working. However, we have to remember that it all started on October 4th, 1957 with Sputnik 1. If you really want a neat ham radio project, you can build the transmitter for Sputnik 1. Visit www.radio.cc/post/Franks-Sputnik-transmitter. There you will find a link to Razzies, a magazine, and the plans Frank, PA3CNO, came up with and used to build his Sputnik 1 transmitter. Now that is a pretty neat ham radio project. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, October the 13th. At the time this forecast was recorded, we were into the third day of an entirely spotless sun. The solar flux index has been hovering around 70, and this translates into mediocre conditions on the HF bands generally. But it wouldn't be Friday the 13th without some extra bad luck. As it turns out, the Earth is moving still deeper into what appears to be a dense stream of solar particles. You can expect unsettled HF conditions for the next few days, so your best bet is to head for 40 or 80 meters if you have antennas for those bands. This isn't to say that the bands above 40 meters will be useless, but let's call the conditions on the upper HF bands challenging, even for those using CW or digital. Hams who enjoy VHF and UHF should be aware of some active tropospheric ducting in the central U.S. and around the Great Lakes this weekend. Also, with the increased auroral activity, don't forget to occasionally point your antennas north.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.